Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Honestly, I did not know what to title the show today. I have so many that are so fitting. Let me start with just saying the name of this show, which is the Tamar Yeno Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. But I wanted to call it Eurovision and World War III. Both of them bomb. Or from Hallelujah and praising God to diversity and sexual perversion. We're going to see the timeline of how things that were once wholesome became so sexually perverse. And I'm talking about the Eurovision Song Contest, which I enjoy, by the way, but am really disgusted with as of last night or Saturday night in Israel. This is Sunday afternoon here. Again, you're listening to the Tamar Yono Show. It is a live show if you are listening between 4 to 5 p.m. Holy Time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between 9 to 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, we are live, and you can feel free to call into the show. I also wanted to call the show Diversity Means Never Having to Say You're Sorry. Anyone who is over 40 or 50 should be familiar with, I think it was called What's Up, Doc? It was a movie with Barbara Streisand and the Irish guy. What was his, Ryan O'Neill. And their whole saying in that movie, which everybody after they saw the movie was going around saying it, love means never having to say you're sorry. I think it was called What's Up, Doc? Well, today, diversity means never having to say you're sorry. I'm going to give you my take on that. I think it's pretty strong. You can feel free to agree, to disagree. Everyone is entitled to their own opinions. You can call in. You don't have to agree with me. I'm willing to hear what you have to say. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So feel free to call into the show. Join me on the air if you have anything to say. You can also join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I would love to see you in the room. You can come in anonymously if you're shy, but give us your first name and just tell us where you're listening from. All right. More about Eurovision and World War III when we get back.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
So we are back here at the Tamar Yono Show on Israel News Talk Radio. Saturday night, Israel hosted the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, many people think it is a silly waste of time. And you know what? They're right. And other people think it is a beautiful contest. And it shows that nations all over Europe and even now around the world, you've got Australia in it, Israel's in it, you've got Eastern Europe, you have Russia in it, etc., that it's an opportunity to bring humankind, mankind together under song with no politics and just with music and song, just bringing people together. And they're right too. However, I've been watching this contest since I arrived in Israel in 1978 after high school. Now you know how old I am. And I've been watching it almost every year because it's a pastime here in Israel because we're part of the contest. Any country who gives one of their songs to be In the contest, of course, is going to want to watch to see if they win or what place they get and to see what the other countries have to offer. And it's a lot of fun. I make popcorn usually on the Eurovision night that comes once a year, usually in May. And I sit there and I laugh at the different songs because some of them are just so ridiculous or so funny because of their languages. Most people today sing in English because they find it usually gets them a better score. But a lot of them stick to their own language. And I respect that, by the way. But it's still kind of funny a lot when you hear a language you've never heard before and it's something like that. All right. So I watched the contest Saturday night with 200 million other people around the globe. This is probably one of the biggest watched events in television history. I believe that the Super Bowl only gets around 100 million people. I'm not sure. Don't hold me to those numbers. But Eurovision, 200 million people. Now, when I started watching this contest in 1978 and 79, Israel had won. They won with a song by Yitzhak Cohen. The song was called Abani B. And it's basically like you have Pig Latin in English. So this is a type of different way to that the kids in Israel would speak. They'd put the syllable, you know, take the last syllable, put it above, you know, the first one, whatever, and it meant I love you, Abani B. And then we had won with the song, second year in a row, Hallelujah. I'll probably be saying Hallelujah from now on because I don't like to say that word when I'm not praying, but we won with that song, and it was sung by Gali Atari, and it was a beautiful song praising God, praising life, praising the goodness and the world. It was just a beautiful, wholesome song. And then we get to 2019. I think it happened before 2019. I don't know if I watched last year's Eurovision or not, but it has been progressively getting more decadent, getting louder with screaming, heavy metal instead of the nice folksy songs that were catchy tunes that every country could relate to and even hum and sing the next day because it was a catchy tune. It was a nice thing. I want to say that what we saw on stage in Israel at the Eurovision from the other countries was simply a fest of sexual perversion. Some of the songs were decent. Some of the songs were meaningful. Unfortunately, too many of the songs were hatred or sexual perversity. And when I say sexual perversity, I mean men dressed up as women. Men saying that there's nothing wrong with me, that I'm dressed as a woman. And they were pushing the idea of diversity. Now, diversity is a nice word when you hear it. It's very positive. We don't all have to be the same. And I'm a believer of that. However, unfortunately, the generation that we're living in today with the progressives have taken words that were nice and have made them mean not nice things. The word gay, for instance, when I was in fifth grade, I think it was, gay was meant you were a happy person. When I was in sixth grade, all of a sudden it meant you were a homosexual. And I remember there was a girl in my class named Gay. And we were wondering when that term started being used during the summertime. When she came back to school after the summer break, she was no longer gay. Her name was Gail. She changed it. She did not want to be called gay. In those days, it was still shameful to be homosexual. And they were just starting to really push the progressive agenda, saying that, no, it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's fine, whatever. And pushing these sexual perversities, what the Bible says is perverse, an abomination, I should say. So diversity is, again, a nice word. But today it's a word that encompasses so much perversion, it's become sick. And again, this is my opinion. You may disagree with me. I'm going by what the Torah and the Tanakh, the Bible, teaches, what God who made this world says. He has delineated borders. Their men are like this, women are like this, children are like this until they come of age. There are limits and borders everywhere in the Torah. There's limits in time. On Friday afternoon, I can cook, I can clean. Friday night comes, boom. I can't cook and clean anymore. I have to now observe the Sabbath. There are borders and lines everywhere, limits and limitations and delineated borders, basically. But today, it's diversion and anything goes. Today, diversity means never having to say you're sorry. Be anything you want and don't apologize for it. That's what is being drummed into us, being shoved down our throats today. We saw on the stage a man with a beard dressed up as a woman in a black tube top, black panties, stockings, and 10-inch heels. This, in my book, is perverse. It's not normal, and it's not a healthy not normal. There was another man on stage that was dressed also in a dress with white go-go type boots that went above the knees. He looked like the Tin Man from the, he looked like a transvestite Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz, I should say. And then there was another woman on stage who was a beautiful woman from Cyprus. She was in the contest the year before. And she was in a, costume that was basically leotards that were nude color. And it didn't cover anything except for two stars on her chest and one star where her female organs were. How she agreed to wear something like that on stage in front of 200 million people, she's brave. What can I tell you? And that's a kind word I'm using. And then there's Madonna. Madonna that I'm so upset with. I mean, I was... never bought her records or music before, but she's a woman who has talent. I've liked some of her songs. She is a type of spiritual person in that she was looking for spirituality. She went to the Kabbalah Center, which many believe is what she's learning, and the way she's learning, it's not exactly kosher. However, to give her the benefit of the doubt, she wants, she's looking for spirituality, and she found it through the Kabbalah. And which is Jewish mysticism, and she changed her name to Esther. She took on a quote-unquote Jewish name, Esther. And if you want to give her the benefit of the doubt, you can say, here's a woman who is promiscuous herself, extremely promiscuous. We know what she's done in her past, what kind of things she's put out, the costume she's worn, the even, I hope there's no children listening. So warning right now, if you have a child listening, shut the volume now. I believe she was doing some type of sexual orgy at one time, and she was promoting that. She has her problems, but if you want to give her the benefit of the doubt, she's searching for something more spiritual. But she did a terrible thing on stage, and I'm not going to have enough time to talk about it. So I think tomorrow on my show, which is tonight if you're in the United States, I'm going to dedicate the whole show to the perversion and to the politicizing of the Eurovision Song Contest. And a lot of you might be thinking, Tamar, get off the Eurovision contest. It's garbage. It's not important. But I think that something that is the most watched event on television, something that 200 million people were watching, something that unites 200 million people, we're all watching, something that's influential, something that becomes, in some cases, role models for our children. They see something up on stage, they think it's cool, they'll want to emulate it. This is important things to talk about. Last night when I was watching the contest, I had a son who right now is visiting in Sweden because his wife is from Sweden. So he was WhatsApping me. And I was WhatsApping him. I had another friend from the Netherlands. They won, by the way, the contest. And thank God their song was a decent song, not perverse. God bless you, the Netherlands. They were texting me also on WhatsApp. I had from Australia, actually it was Nathan, one of our listeners, also texting me. And in Israel, this was something that brought people from different continents together. So like it or not like it, Eurovision matters to over 200 million people. And it's important to talk about. At least I think so. When we get back, we're going to stop talking about how Eurovision bombed last night. And instead, we're going to be talking about World War III. Is it coming? United States, Iran, tensions rising there. Israel's in the region too. Saudi Arabia, a lot to talk about. We'll be right back.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and I am here now with my next guest, and we are speaking with Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher. Let me find my notes here. I had so much to say about the Eurovision. I don't have enough time. I'm going to do it in my next show. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 60 books and 400 research papers on science, political science, and more. He also commentates on Mideast and world issues, and he's here joining us now. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
It's good to have you on. So over the weekend, there was even more tension going on. Apparently, the news is saying that Israel bombed Syria over the weekend. I don't know what Israel's response is to that. But tensions are also flaring between Iran and the United States of America, with Donald Trump building up forces, I believe. Tell us what you know. What has been happening? What has been developing?
Well, There's an enormous amount of things going on. And so even just give a rundown of facts would take more time than we have. But let me just start off with a few little things. Last week, four oil tankers were sabotaged, and not for the first time. And, of course, Iran didn't admit that they did it, but everybody believes that they did.
And those oil tankers belong to Saudi Arabia.
Correct.
Who they hate and who they want to take over. And Saudi Arabia is trying to get the United States to come together with them and protect them.
Again, it's more than that. But yes, that's also true. In the same time, an oil installation in Saudi Arabia was also sabotaged. And that was admitted by the Houthis, in other words, by an Iranian proxy. There have been reports, numerous reports, not one report, but many reports about Iran preparing forces throughout the Gulf region, including placing medium-range and short-range missiles on boats, so that they can get closer to U.S. ships and fire on ships. And there have been talks, and this is, I have to say this very carefully, because this is very this is a difficult
sensitive
subject.
Okay.
There have been talks that Iran might be preparing a major strike against the U.S. Naval forces with the aid of what's called a tactical EMP device.
Hmm. Okay, EMP, for anybody who doesn't know,
electromagnetic
pulse, which can basically destroy the world if it hits a large enough area. Basically, everything stops. Your electricity, cars, internet, everything. You're brought back to the Stone Age.
It doesn't destroy the world. It destroys anything that's electronic.
Right. Which would bring us basically... would bring disease, no more...
It destroys those things that are on at the time. In other words, if you have a computer and it's turned off at the time, then nothing will happen with it.
Maybe the internet that you're getting from the central part of your city was hit, and so it doesn't do you much good, your computer. Or the electric company was hit.
It depends on a lot of things, but these are very, very complex issues, and I don't want to go into them now because that'll easily take up all the time that we have. EMP is very, very complex and very extraordinarily dangerous. If the talk was at this time of hitting the United States, then the vulnerability, the level of vulnerability of the United States is extraordinarily high. And we're talking about, in terms of the United States, we're talking about a level of vulnerability which is existential for the existence and for the continued existence of the United States. But that's not really what you wanted to talk about. You wanted to talk about the Gulf.
I want to talk about World War III. I mean, this could, if Iran attacks the United States, and if they do it with an EMP, which is basically a nuclear bomb that's detonated above in the atmosphere and not on Earth.
No, that's only one type. That's not tactical. That's called a HEMP. That's a high altitude EMP. And that's not what we're talking about now.
Okay.
We're talking about a non-nuclear EMP.
A different type of bomb. Okay. But this could set off a World War III.
It's very difficult to say that. Clearly, Putin is not about to go to war against the United States for Iran. He hates the Iranians as much as Trump does. He just finds them more useful than Trump does. So we're not really talking about World War III. We're not talking about either the Chinese or the Russians going to war with the United States. Nobody's even thinking about or talking about that. There's almost no chance of anything like that happening. What we are talking about is the possibility of a third Gulf War. And again, most of what you see in the journalists is rubbish. There's no realistic concept of the United States performing a massive ground invasion of Iran. Remember, Iran is many times larger than Iraq. They failed in Iraq, so they're certainly not about to try it in Iran, which is both stronger, larger, and much more complex terrain. So that's not the subject. We're not talking about invading Iran. But we may be talking about a military conflagration or confrontation between Iran and the United States, and in which case we would be talking about something which would be mostly a massive strike against Iranian infrastructure, again, if something like that was to occur.
So what exactly would happen? What are we looking at a possibility of?
The possibility is if something like that, if a conflagration occurs, what we would probably see is high altitude bombing on the one hand by the United States, high altitude bombing by something like a B-52 or something of that nature, which have already been deployed into the theater, and at the same time low altitude support by carrier-based fighter planes, and at the same time some ship-to-shore missiles, probably something like a Tomahawk or some other kind of cruise missile, all intended to take out major portions of Iranian infrastructure. Remember, one of the emphases, the two major emphases that Trump has talked about all along is, A, he does not view himself as being in conflict with the Iranian people, only with the Iranian government, which the Iranian people despise themselves, and he's trying to support the Iranian people. And B, he is loath to deploy troops. So that's not, again, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about deployment of hundreds of thousands of troops to the Iranian theater. He's talking about something which is probably only airborne And I would say that the odds on that happening right now are still quite slim. Trump much, much prefers economic weapons to what's called kinetic weapons.
In your academic opinion, who is more likely to win if there's a confrontation between Iran and the United States?
Oh, Iran doesn't have a chance. They think they do, but they don't have a chance. I mean, clearly, the United States has massively more power than Iran has. I mean, there's literally no comparison between the two. Iran basically has no air force. Their air force is a joke. I mean, they can't.
But yet, America has a disadvantage. But yet, America has a disadvantage in that they are fighting thousands of miles away, where for Iran, it's right there on their doorstep. They've got all their resources right there.
That's why they have aircraft carriers. That's not a big deal. And they also have a major base in the Indian Ocean, and they have bases in various places in the Gulf itself. So that's a problem, but not a significant problem. That's only it's a problem of cost, not anything else.
Do you see war coming?
I think that Iran would love to see a war coming. I think that's what they want more than anything else. But they're at the same time they're scattered on the mines. Trump is scaring them terribly. One thing we need to be aware of, and I think it's a beautiful thing.
You have 1 minute.
Trump said during his campaign that the most important thing when you're talking about adversaries is not to make big announcements and always keep them guessing what you're going to do. And that's exactly what Trump has done over the last 2.5 years. He's keeping everybody guessing, and I would guess that he will continue with the level of uncertainty because that's his best card to play.
And you are not just a scientist, but you also hold a rabbinical degree. You're a rabbi. According to the Tanakh, our prophets, do you see this happening as to what they have predicted or prophesied as well?
Again, probably yes, but you're talking about, but when you're asking the question, you're talking about in the near future, and we do not have a time frame for what the prophets foretell us. So remember the so-called end of days, as it's called in the English language, lasts for 1,000 years. Have we begun that process yet? We don't know.
Well, we shall keep our finger on the pulse of what is happening there. I know that we will be talking about this in the future. And I want to thank you for giving us an update on what's happening. Tensions are rising here in the Middle East between the United States, Saudi Arabia, and with Iran poking at both, and threats made, military buildup. It is something that we must keep watching. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you.
All right. And when we get back, we are going to be speaking with Shifra Hoffman. And she will be giving us her take on Jewish activism, what needs to be done. Remember, you can call in, you can agree, you can disagree. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And we're trying to get Shifra Hoffman, our next guest, on the line. When she calls in, we'll try to put her on. In the meantime, if you have any comments or questions about what we've been talking about on the show, feel free to call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You can also join us in the chat room. That's the orange button on our homepage or on our player, and you can write your comments there. You can read what other people are saying about the show. You can meet people from all over the world. It's really nice to come into the chat room. It's free. It's fun. And just put in your first name or sign in with your Twitter or Facebook and join us. Join us on the show. All right. So in the meantime, we do have a caller from Tel Aviv, and we have joining us Henry. Henry from Stockholm, Sweden, who's visiting here for the Eurovision Song Contest. Shalom, Henry.
Hello.
It's very, very good to have you on. So you almost won the Eurovision yesterday, your country. Sweden came in second place.
We did, but we didn't make it all the way.
Right, you didn't make it, but you almost did. So good for you. And Sweden has lots of songs. By the way, for anybody who doesn't know, ABBA, the group ABBA, started out their international career. They got really known. They got a boost from when they won the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo. So your daughter, Henry, was in the Eurovision Song Contest?
Yes, she won the Swedish competition in 2010. And she made it to the finals, but this time she didn't win the Swedish competition. But she has a great song that is called Ashes to Ashes. It's a biblical metaphor and a song suitable for the state of Israel, really.
Is she a supporter of Israel?
Yeah, she's not politically involved. But this song is a song for everybody. It's about the new sun rising. It's about making the best out of your life. And ashes to ashes and dust to dust is the biblical metaphor.
Correct.
That can suit anybody. Christian, Jewish, Swedish, Israeli. Anybody could connect to this song. And I want to make a promotion for it because it's so great.
Well, I'm sure that a father is very proud of his daughter.
Of course.
So she was in the 2010 Eurovision Song Contest, you're saying?
Yeah, she was there and didn't make it to the final. That was in Norway.
So she was not on the stage in Norway when they hosted it?
Yeah, she was on the stage.
Oh, she was. Okay, what was her name? Yeah. Can you tell us her name?
Anna Bergendahl.
Anna Bergen...
D-A-H-L, Bergendahl.
Bergendahl, okay. So we're going to have to look her up on Google and see your beautiful daughter. So you're here in Tel Aviv now for the Eurovision. Was there something that brought you here? Do you have skin in the game, as they say? Or do you have someone from your family, or you have a job with the Eurovision?
No, we booked the tickets ahead to see if our daughter could make it to the final here, but she didn't. But we went to Israel anyway, because once in a lifetime as a Christian or a Jewish or whatever you are, you have to see Israel, Jerusalem, and all the holy places.
So did you get a chance to go and visit Jerusalem?
Yes, we went to Jerusalem for the whole day. We went to the Dead Sea for a day, and we went to the Masada Cliff.
Masada.
Masada, amazing history of the fight between the Jewish colony there and the Roman. Amazing story.
Yes, it was. What was the most exciting or interesting part of your trip here to Israel?
Oh, it was Jerusalem, of course.
And what specifically in Jerusalem?
Oh, to see the West Wall and...
The Western Wall? Mm-hmm.
The Western Wall, and to see the Holy Church.
Did you put a note inside of the wall?
Of course.
Mm. Okay.
For our family.
Very nice. You asked God to bless your family?
Is it a secret what you write, or can I tell you what I wrote?
You can do whatever you like.
Okay. I said, for our family... health, love, and a long life.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
And you forgot to say peace on earth.
Yes. But we will come back. We will definitely come back to this wonderful country. And then I will write peace and no global warming.
And no global warming. All right. Listen, Henry, I want you to know that my daughter-in-law is from Sweden. She's Swedish. And she's there right now with my son. They're in Sweden. They're actually leaving tonight and coming home to Israel. But they were there in Sweden, and they were very excited because it looked like Sweden was going to win at one time. And just at the last, you know, moments of the show, more votes came in, and it pushed the Netherlands or Holland ahead. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And when you come back again, my email is Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. It's on our website. Write me a letter. Maybe we'll get together for a cup of coffee.
Well, that would be great. And one more thing. The portions here that you eat in Israel are enormous. Me and my wife split the portion.
How is the food here? Tasty?
It's tasty, but the portions are so big. People leave half of the food on the plate.
That's something that you don't complain about, Henry.
Yes.
You just say thank you.
But you need to think about global warming.
You know, I'm not so sure I buy the theory on global warming, but we can discuss that if we ever meet for coffee. Okay?
We can do that.
Over a hot cup of coffee. So it might add a little bit to the global warming.
Oh, all right. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. It's a surprise, and it's a pleasure to have you call into the show. And it's always good to meet people who are coming to Israel, especially for the first time, because you have an excitement that people who live here take for granted. And when we see Israel through your eyes and hear about it from other people, it becomes exciting as well for us again. So thank you.
Thank you. It was nice.
Wonderful. And you should have much luck. Maybe next year Sweden will win.
And our daughter will be in the competition.
All right. I'm curious to see her. We'll try to check her out after the show. Thank you for calling in, Henry.
Yeah, thank you for your hospitality here, and shalom.
With much happiness. How do you say goodbye in Swedish?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like the Cypress song. The song from Cypress.
It's a song.
right. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for calling
in. Bye-bye.
All right, that was a surprise, a nice surprise to hear somebody from Sweden come. This is one of the reasons why, by the way, the people who are very, very negative about Eurovision, who don't want to hear about it at all because it's like, you know, corny, which it is, by the way, but it has so many other attributes to it. This is why it's important, because it lets people see a country. Henry probably never would have come to Israel if he didn't have an excuse to come, and that was for the Eurovision Song Contest. We had a lot of people who came and saw Israel with their own eyes, don't just believe what they read in the media and on the social media and what they hear on the news and the major news networks. All they hear about is bombs, and they hear about, Arabs and Jews and the conflict. And they were able to see a beautiful, sunny Israel with beautiful historical places that they can relate to if they are Bible-believing people, to see the beautiful beaches, to see the beautiful people, to see the beautiful places all around Israel. And when you have the Eurovision, and this is what they did last night on Saturday night, by the way, each group, when they were introducing them for their right before they went on stage, they were showing who they were. They would take each group to a different part of the country. So they would take Sweden. I don't remember where they took Sweden, but let's just say that they took Sweden to, I really don't remember where they took them, but let's say they took them to the Sea of Galilee. They didn't, but let's just pretend. You see beautiful scenes of the Sea of Galilee, and the camera goes up, and you see with drones an aerial view, and you see the beautiful, lush country of Israel. It's a great tourism promotion for your country. And that's another reason why all these countries want to win, so they can host it. Number one, they get tourism into their country. And number two, they get to show off their country. And the world is a beautiful place when there's no war and bloodshed. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful things to see. You go to Norway, you see the fjords there. You go to other places, you see the mountains, the Alps. There's many, many things to be able to see in different countries, historical things, natural, geographical things. And you get to show it off to people. And it makes people say, oh, you know what? Next vacation, we're going to Norway. Or next vacation, we're going to Israel. Or next vacation, we're going to Sweden. It's a wonderful vehicle to be able to promote your country to the world. It is also, if it were still the wholesome contest it used to be, was a wonderful thing to try to promote peace and better relations between people in different countries through song, through music. And it was a lofty idea. I'm just so sad to see what it has become today. Again, if you have different opinions, feel free to write me. I'd like to hear it. Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. That's my email address. And you can write me your thoughts. And I will say more about the contest tomorrow, some of the things that very much disappointed me, some things that are actually very important. And I'll tell you the good things I liked about the contest, too, because Israel put on a phenomenal show. You've been listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.